The death and sufferings of Jesus Christ happened because of two earth-shaking events that took place in two famous gardens. The first garden was the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a literal paradise, and the first two people, and you've got to use your imagination here, Adam and Eve. What a fine-looking Adam and Eve we have today. The original Adam and Eve were the ancestors of every person on earth. That's a fact. And they were perfect in every way, and they lived in paradise. They lived in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve knew God. And that's not Morgan Freeman, by the way. That's Taps. I just want everybody to know that. Adam and Eve knew God. And God would come down in the cool of the evening and he would walk with them. That's what the Bible tells us. And he would talk with them as they meandered through the Garden of Eden. It was heaven on earth, and it's really hard for us to comprehend that because we have never been to heaven. We don't know what paradise is. But for them, absolutely, it was perfect in every way. God gave Adam and Eve access to all the thousands of beautiful fruit trees that were in the Garden of Eden. Everything was provided for them. They needed nothing. And God gave Adam and Eve authority over the earth, over all of the animals. But there was one specific tree in the Garden of Eden that was out of bounds to them. God told them very clearly not to eat its fruit. You've read this before. For God said, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. But one fateful day, Adam and Eve were tempted to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree. And they gave in to their temptation. And they ate the fruit that God had told them to leave alone. And then, from that moment, death and decay fell upon Adam and Eve, upon the human race that was to come, and over all creation. Their disobedience to God's command, their action of disobedience to God's command, had sent a clear message to God. Their disobedience to God said, God, not your will be done, but my will be done. They were saying to God, not your will be done, but my will be done. If I want to eat the fruit, I will eat the fruit. And they did. And so because of their behavior, God could never walk with Adam and Eve ever again. Then Adam and Eve had children. And their children had children. And their children had children. And so on, all the way down to 2024. And here we are today, the children of Adam and Eve. And sadly, every person that's ever been born, sadly, they inherited the same rebellious attitude of heart that Adam and Eve gave birth to. Every generation, even today, still continues to shout at God and say, God, not your will be done, but my will be done. People are shouting that all around the world, some with clenched fists. Adam's one act of disobedience opened the door for all types of wickedness, greed, violence, and depravity. Every cruel word, every lustful thought, every war in the world and throughout history, and every selfish action can be traced back to the day when Adam said through his behavior to God, God, not your will be done, but my will be done. The worst crime in all of human history was not the horrific Nazi Holocaust, nor Stalin's senseless slaughter of over 50 million people. Horrific crimes. But the worst crime in all of human history was when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit that plunged the world into chaos and made all people captives of sin and death. Are you still eating the apple? You're rather enjoying that, aren't you, Adam? Yes, yeah. That's the Garden of Eden. So now we have come to the second garden. And the second garden was the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find Jesus Christ. And you've got to have a pastor playing Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we find Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father. But Jesus is very distressed. Very distressed. He's actually in terrible anguish. And his distress is so intense that it causes him to sweat drops of blood. His time to be betrayed had come. His time to be crucified has now come. And so in anguish, Jesus prayed to God the Father, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me." It's so important. We must be careful that we never trivialize the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We may think that since Jesus was God, and since he knew he was going to rise again, then maybe the sufferings of Jesus weren't that bad after all. He knew the ending of the story. However, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of the universe, was sweating drops of blood. He was distressed. Jesus, who calmed the storms, Jesus, who was always in control, was distressed. And he was so distressed, he was in such agony that blood came out of his pores, of his skin. There was nothing light or trivial about the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't about the betrayal of Jesus that broke his heart. It wasn't about the cruel death on the cross, so that was to be feared. It was about carrying the sins of the world on his shoulders. Your sin, my sin. It was about bearing the wrath of God, the Father, and everything that involved. It was about being sinless and then being punished for every sinful act throughout human history, as if you had done them all. That's why Jesus was sweating drops of blood. That's why Jesus was in anguish. The suffering of Jesus Christ is incomprehensible to us. But we should never take it for granted, because Jesus suffered so we would not have to suffer. So Jesus prayed, "My Father, Father, Abba, Abba, Father," the scriptures say, "if it's possible, make this cup be taken from me." But then Jesus cried out to God the Father with the blood sweat running down his face, and he cried out, "Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus went to a garden before he was crucified. It's like a detective visits a crime scene. Kind of in a similar way. It was like that, like Jesus returned to the scene of that first horrific crime when Adam's disobedience shouted to the heavens, "God, not your will be done, but my will be done." Adam rebelled against God in the garden. Jesus Christ submitted to God in the garden. Adam said, God, not your will be done, but my will be done. Jesus said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Jesus obeyed the Father and he went to the cross. Adam's disobedience brought death, but Jesus's obedience brought life. What a difference between Adam and Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Jesus Christ, the second man, the second Adam, came from heaven. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the last Adam or the second Adam. But biologically, we're all made in the image of this first Adam. And his sin and rebellion has been passed down to us. But we don't have to be like the first Adam anymore, because there's a new Adam in town who died for our sins and has been raised from the dead. And this new Adam, who is Jesus Christ, said after rising from the dead, I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. And the Bible says anyone who belongs to Christ, the second Adam, anybody who belongs to Christ is a new creation, is a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Biologically, we still remain in the image of the fallen Adam. And you're doing a great job, by the way, in a... Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for playing the bad guy today. Amen. But you do it so well. Amen. That's disturbing. Amen. But biologically, we're still made in the image of the fallen Adam. But spiritually, because we trust in Jesus, we're being transformed to be like Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Did everybody hear that? Our sins are washed away. Hallelujah. Our sins are now washed away. We're right with God. And we belong to the family of God. All because of Jesus Christ, the last Adam. And one day at the resurrection, even our biology is going to change. At the resurrection, our bodies will be transformed into resurrected bodies. And our salvation will be complete. And we will be like Jesus. Amen. God formed us. Sin deformed us. But Christ transforms us. Praise God. That's the message of Easter. And it's a message worth celebrating. Have you been transformed by Jesus Christ? Have you changed Adams? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Do you now belong to Jesus? Today is a good day to get right with God by turning to Jesus and asking Him to save your soul. Let's pray, shall we? Come on, everybody. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. You know, we close our eyes just so we don't get distracted. That's the only reason why we close our eyes. And we're going to keep our eyes closed for a moment because this is a sacred moment. And God is here this Good Friday. And in a moment, we're going to be receiving communion together. And then the service will be drawing to a close. But I want to ask you, I seriously want to ask you that question again. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, what are you waiting for? Today is a good day to surrender your life to Jesus. And so, I invite you to do that right now. While everybody's praying, the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is with us. Why don't you open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, I put my trust in you today. I surrender my sin to you. I ask for forgiveness. Be the God of my life today. Would you do that today? Would you receive Jesus into your life? Would you surrender yourself to Him and let Him transform you? And if you do that, then today, this Friday, will truly be a good Friday for you. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, can I pray for you? And you know, we've got our eyes closed, so I'm going to open mine. But while everybody's praying, especially Christians right now, if that's you today, just give me a wave of your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Just give me a wave of your hand if you'd like me to pray. And we're going to pray salvation over you today. But you've got to give me, God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you down the back. Couple, three, number down the back. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Give me a wave. And we're going to pray. God bless you, darling. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Got to make sure I see your hand. We're just going to pray. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Anybody else? That's beautiful. Can we just all together? So what we're going to do is we'll repeat a prayer together, and you'll find this prayer really helpful, especially those who raise their hands. You can put your hand upon your heart now, and let's just repeat this prayer, and then I'll pray a little prayer immediately afterwards. But the Lord right now is here. He's ministering to you. So please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. And rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. And invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you. As my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. And Father, we just pray over those who have just raised their hands today, Lord, because you've touched their hearts. And Lord, you care for them and you love them. And we pray, Father, you just overshadow them now. Pray you'll wash away all of their sins. Pray, Lord, that they'll follow you for the rest of their life. We pray this. Lord, we declare them to be born again today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted,
hallelujah.
Could you give these gentlemen a big hand, please? Well done.